Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
The Slaughter Podcast will be discussing topics that some listeners may find disturbing.
If you're still listening, then I'm pretty sure your parents are disappointed in you.
So, episode 2 of Slaughter, we're back. It's Lucy.
And Emma.
Have you had a good week?
Yeah, it's been good. Kicked off with some voodoo action over Halloween.
Yes, yes, we went out. We went out to celebrate episode 1. Being recorded, we went out for Halloween, we didn't dress up because we're lazy.
But I loved it, really took us back to New Orleans.
New Orleans. Yeah, it was like a bluesy sort of night, wasn't it? And kind of an art gallery, which was cool.
It definitely was, I was getting the New Orleans vibes with the voodoo things. Which is kind of cool because, again, that's another place where our murder interest really kick-started.
Yeah. Well, we were staying at a hostel in, because we travel around Florida and we'd move up to New Orleans. Listen, I'm talking to you now. I'm not telling Emma this. And we were in New Orleans for 2 days, is that right?
Maybe 2 nights, 3 days.
2 nights, 3 days. And we befriended some random girl who was there, like really like 18 or something, wasn't she? Yeah. She was there on camp or
too
something.
Too young for fun.
And we went out on the day, we said, oh, do you want to hang out with us? So we went out for the day. But Emma and I really wanted to go to the Museum of Death. So we went straight there, pretty much. I think we were there before it even opened.
We were. We had to kill time while the Museum of Death opened because we were so eager.
Yeah, and then we went in and we were in there for a good 2-3 hours and it was amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah. Loads of like correspondence from like John Wayne Gacy, Charles Manson.
Yeah, although are we allowed to say that? Because he was like, no photos, don't reveal what's in here. But it was amazing.
It's worth seeing.
It's definitely worth going. I could have spent longer there. There were like death masks and stuff of like people who had passed away. I thought it was brilliant. Yeah. I'd go again.
Recommend it. So anyone who's listening close to New Orleans, go to the Museum of Death. It's amazing. And the owner is well worth chatting to.
Yeah, he knows a lot about a lot. I watched the Marianne Cotton documentary on my TV that came
Drama.
Out. Drama, not documentary. I was expecting a documentary, but then you did tell me it was a drama. It was okay. They definitely went with the babies died by accident.
Right.
The first babies. Jane Nutris on a mattress made an appearance.
Was he hot? Was he worth
it? It's kind of like ruggedy, kind of like, I'm really cool. You probably want to shag me.
See, I couldn't watch it. I was like, I know they're going to ruin it. I'm too close to the story now.
Yeah, it was your tale. I'm going to watch the second one. Nothing about her previous life.
Has she done any poisonings yet?
Yeah.
And is the perspective that she's doing it because she hates them, because she wants money?
It's like, more like she's desperate.
Oh, so they're definitely the same.
She's not an unlikable character in the drama.
See? Like
they're trying to make her sort of...
It's not hard!
Yeah, they're trying to make her, like, likeable, but they're also... She's pretty bad, though, isn't it? I mean, she's not killed any babies yet. Oh, no, she has, so she started killing children. She's moved in with that guy, the one who lost his wife and his sister hates her.
Oh, yes.
But I was a bit like, well, where's the past life? Where's... And I was watching it with my fiancé and he kept saying, well, that wasn't in the podcast. So obviously he listened to our podcast, and that wasn't in the podcast, so that was quite funny. Oh, they didn't mention that in this podcast I listened to, and I was like, oh, what podcast is that? And he was like, oh, Slaughter, you might have heard of it. Lol, lol, lol. Loving that.
It doesn't sound cooler the more you say it.
No, no. Like, I mean, we were like just proper saddos, and I was just chuffing at myself. God, like, I got a podcast.
Right. So this week we're bringing you two new murder stories. I'm going to update it slightly and bring us into the 80s.
1980s or 80s.
Yes. Yeah, going from the 80s. True, I was in the 80s last week too. From the 1880s to the 1980s, we're going forward. I've got a gentleman murderer.
Oh.
Not a gentleman, just that he's a man.
I've got a man as well.
Is he a gentleman?
Definitely not.
Oh. Maybe that could be next
two
week's theme.
Two total shits this week.
Proper knobheads. I mean, mine is batshit crazy.
Really?
Like, he is, when you think of psycho killer, like, he's everything. He's out the box, bizarre. Which is kind of why I found it interesting.
Yeah.
So, have I drawn the short straw?
Yeah, I feel a bit scared this time because you're going first. I feel like I'm...
You can't control me!
No, I feel like I'm headlining because I'm like, but you're the main event! Like, I can't cope with the pressure. I'm the warmer pack.
Well, so, I'll warm you up first.
The pressure's on.
I'll warm you up with the burning loins of Anthony Paul Anderson.
Ooh.
So there is another Anthony Anderson who was a murderer in the same sort of time period, late 1980s. And he sort of got notoriety but he also then, whilst in prison, campaigned for the end of minimum sentences, because complaining against that sort of campaigning to the Supreme Court about that. So if you search Anthony Anderson, it's likely that he will come up. But this Anthony Paul Anderson...
Is he Anthony Paul Anderson or Anthony Paul Anderson?
Neither. Anthony, first name. Middle name, Paul. Last name, Anderson. All right.
Okay.
That's just to differentiate from if you try and research, and you'll probably find the other one. So most of my information is coming from a book called Men of Blood by a guy called Elliot Layton, who is definitely got the credentials to talk about this. There's also a couple of other books that have referenced this murderer, but apart from that, pretty scarce. So if anyone else has any sources, I'd be interested to know. So let's start you off. So Anthony Anderson, born 1967.
Yeah.
So his mum called Zoe and his dad Richard. Then his mum left.
Where he was born.
Yeah. His mum left.
UK.
And his dad then became depressed and drink, and all the children went into care. So Anthony, whilst in care, was described as being very disruptive, unmanageable, wild behaviour. And he was only in care until he was 16 when he left his foster home. So he then somehow managed to, as a disruptive child of the system, got a job with the National Association for Care and Rehabilitation of Offenders.
Oh.
Which seems bizarre.
So he's helping people
who've
offended.
By driving the bus. but still, an odd position to be in. He's around a lot of people who have committed acts that he possibly is inspired by at this point. So by the age of 21, he has a whole string of convictions. He has burglary, theft. It also lists deception, which I'm not quite sure how you can be convicted of deception.
I'm arresting you. That's for deception.
Yeah, a very old British thing.
For lying to people's faces.
Criminal damage, arson, and he was well known in his community as being a compulsive liar. That he was one of those people that would just bullshit a story to try and impress you. Like, everything that came out of his mouth was, oh yeah, well, I rode a giraffe yesterday.
The one of those people who always tries to one-up you when you've got a story and they've always got something better. I hate
something bizarre. So by 1985,
he had spent a couple of years in prison for aggravated burglary, and when he came out, he went to live with his mum again for about 2 weeks before she was like, you are...
Nope.
It's not specified what the problem was, just that she couldn't handle him, couldn't handle his behaviour. So something odd happening. So he went to go and live with his dad then, who was in a housing association situation, which was meant for people with disabilities primarily. And two of the neighbours in this disabled housing association estate would become two of his victims later. His neighbours, Raymond Faversham and Marcus Amont, would be two people that he targeted within this place. So not exactly...
You never
picking
know.
Picking on people his own size.
You never know who's living down the street from you.
Well, he shouldn't have been there.
And you'd think, you kind of, if you've got a neighbour, you kind of think that's safe, don't you? Like, if someone comes knocking on the door, you're like, oh, well, it's one of my neighbours. And I guess you never know.
Yeah. But, so, while he was there, he was found out, he searched for and found his granddad. And he discovered that he had been... He'd served 3 years in prison for incest with Anderson's mother, Zoe.
So that, what, so his daughter?
Yeah. So his granddad shagged his own daughter, who was Anderson's mum.
No.
His granddad was his dad, basically. Nah. Not confirmed. This was Anderson's strong belief. He found out about the incest charge and from then on was convinced that his granddad was his dad. I mean, it's possible, but... it was denied strongly by his dad, Stasis Petrov, Lithuanian, came over to England. But he tried to strike up a relationship with his granddad, convinced that he was his dad, and he kept pushing it and pushing it and pushing it, the fact that he was his dad, that his granddad's wife, Elsa, just said, look, you're creeping me out, I don't want you here anymore. She said she was too frightened of him coming around, being aggressive, being talking about... claims of his sexual prowess, claims of assaults he'd committed, and she wasn't having it.
Yeah, fair so play, fair play. Woman.
He wasn't allowed there anymore. So after this time, he started sort of amping up his criminal activity and basically just spending his time committing theft and becoming more and more violent in the thefts, until he worked up to his actual murders. I think that's something that we see in, like...
Yeah.
A few serial killers that you sort of do, like, little test attacks or maybe...
Quite often, like, killing animals.
Yeah.
And then, like... It's quite often it's sort of rape to murder, isn't it? But that's usually if there's a sexual component and there's something that they find exciting about that. But, or, like, just aggression to murder... So is this more like the aggressive side, and it was kind of...
Yeah, a little bit, but I think... I mean, these were just two of his... The first two murders are these Raymond Faversham and Marcus Amont, who lived in this housing association area and were disabled for various different reasons that we'll get into. And I think they were sort of like easy targets for him to build up to his next victims, which were the main target of his aggression.
Okay. He sounds delightful.
He does sound great. And the real fun is going to come in his interviews when he really lets you see the wormhole of his brain.
Oh, God.
So it all came to a head around the late August. So 25th of August in 1987, he had been out one night drinking. He was walking back home and saw that his neighbour... Raymond Faversham, his front door was unlocked. Now, this guy was an ex-school teacher, now alcoholic.
Oh.
Oh, that is like the future of all of us at this point. Which ex-teacher have
I'm
you
saying,
heard?
Oh, because I'm thinking that could be me.
If the alcohol doesn't take you, dementia will, so take your pick at this point.
So he just kind of gone... Got in, going straight for a drink, left his door unlocked.
Yeah, well, so he was an alcoholic. He was a bit of a hoarder, it sounds like. Like, when they came to find his body, the police said that it took ages because his house was so full of empty bottles and just rubbish that they couldn't even get in at first. Yeah. So I don't think
he was taking good care of himself or his house.
No.
And it wasn't. So locking a door, I don't think he gave a shit.
He's driven to it by the naughty kids.
This is what they bring us to. Sure. He was drunk and asleep when he took it, when he went in. So Anderson did the meanest thing he could think of.
Killed him.
No. He stole his microwave, a clock. Clock and his
stole his microwave.
Microwave and a clock.
No more micro meals for you, buddy.
Meals on Wheels are going to have to turn around. Ain't coming here. He stole those and he stole
the fridge.
Yeah.
So, change the radio dial. Take the toothpaste. Swap it with the Brill cream.
Yeah. But, I mean, this was actually his undoing because it was only for the fact that he was caught selling these items that drew the police's attention to Anderson and later finding out about these murders.
So what did he take? The microwave and the...
Microwave and a clock he took, and then he tried to sell them. And the police spoke to him on the next night about the fact that he'd stolen these. Oh, he also went back the next night and threw a dustbin through this guy's window.
Oh, just... Didn't get much for the microwave, obviously. Yes.
I mean,
screw you!
Locals were saying that they'd witnessed sort of like a bullying, a harassment of Faversham for a long time, that he would come back drunk and sort of pick on this guy. He was pretty helpless, to be honest. So the Saturday, the police went round to his house to speak to him just about these stolen goods. I mean, not great, but we're not talking, you know, serious armed police SWAT team coming in. They went to speak to him and Anderson completely freaked out, refused to come to the door, and the police had to force themselves, break a window and come in and forcefully arrest him when literally they'd gone around to question him about it. So originally Anderson said, "I've bought the items, I can sell them." And then after a second interview admitted, "Okay, I did do it." Like, it doesn't take much to break this guy.
And they were like, "Aha, deception. You're under arrest."
Exactly. There's the deception. So he was just charged with burglary, criminal damage, and he was released on bail.
Yeah.
But this, I mean, looking, hindsight is 2020. He'd been released on bail, but he had already begun to kill at this point. And he would end up murdering 4 people in total in about the same number of days.
Oh, in 4 days?
Pretty much.
So he was just like nothing for a long time and right, I'm going to get it out.
Yeah, it happened.
Something flipped and he's like...
I mean, the community...
This is me now.
The community seemed to know a lot more about them when they conducted interviews with neighbours and things. They saw the pattern of this amping up. They said he would do bizarre things, like he would put a devil mask on, invite people into his house and then jump out to scare them. That was one of his favourite things.
That's quite
funny. He would get someone to come around his flat and then try and scare them. He would also often say that he'd murdered people. Like, he'd get drunk and say that he beat people up and killed them, that he killed people in a nightclub, that he dumped bodies here. And people just thought, "You're fucking crazy.
Yeah,
you're bullshit.
You're nuts."
So... Also, a week before, he told local children that he was going to kill his second victim, Marcus Lamont, who was also disabled after a motorcycle incident and was in a wheelchair.
So he was just bragging to randoms.
Yeah, he had some sort of problems with this Lamont. Some, like, they said that they had a volatile, they didn't get on.
So he's not good at covering his tracks. He's not trying not to get caught.
Yeah, he's not trying not to get caught. He really doesn't care.
Heart on his sleeve.
After being released on bail, he was going around the pubs and every time he would say goodbye, he'd say, "Oh, I'll see you tomorrow if I'm not doing 25 to life by then." He would try and pick up women by saying, "Oh, can I sleep with you tonight because I might be going to prison for life." Like, he was very open about the fact that he would just tell people, "I've murdered people, I'm going to prison." But who fucking does that? If someone says to you, "Oh, by the way, I'll see you tomorrow because I might be going to prison," you're like, "Of course you're not. Like, that's ridiculous. I might get 25 to life tomorrow."
Maybe he's making it so obvious, he's trying to throw everyone off. He's like, "Oh, but he couldn't."
Yeah.
It's like if you had like a gold brick in your front garden, you'd be like, oh, there's my gold there. Everyone would be like, yeah, all right, that's fake.
It's no the double bluff, isn't yeah. it? Like, if I say it loud enough.
Although, then... what kind of women are you picking up with that child line? I'd love to see the kind of...
Well, I would love to see what it looked like. Like I said, the research has been confined to quite obscure sources, and I'm desperate to see a photograph of this guy. I want to know what
kind. I mean, no matter how hot he was, if he came up with that as part of his pickup line, I'd be like, no.
is that a sort of like an indicator of how on a scale of how going single well. Are you yeah. from in a relationship to desperately trying to find photographs of serial killers to see how hot they are?
But if it's all going well with the guy in a bar, you know, you're getting on, you're chatting up, they just drop in there that they've murdered a few people. I mean, that's call it a day, see you later, get my coat.
I'm pretty lucky it hasn't happened already. I mean,
I think you'd probably go back with them like, oh, tell me more.
Oh. Not if they'd murdered someone.
No.
If they're like, I know about some murders.
That's you. That's not much better. I know about some murders. Want to come back to mine?
Well, maybe if I'd met Anderson, things would have been different. He also, again, tried aggressively sort of targeting his second victim, Marcus Lamont, he threw a cast iron gutter through his window as well.
Oh, back in the day when you had cast iron gutters. I mean, you can't get that shit anymore.
So this all happened that last weekend in August, 27th, 28th. Monday the 29th, the police had found both of the bodies.
So it was two neighbours.
Yes. So Raymond Faversham, the alcoholic school teacher, God rest his soul, was found in his bedroom under a pile of clothing. He had been stripped and he had been tied up with his clothes that had been taken off him. He had been repeatedly stabbed with two knives, one of which was inside his body.
Oh.
They retrieved it from the body.
There's no way he's trying to hide anything. He's just left the murder weapon there.
He had taken over 500 stab wounds. His intestines were found outside the body.
Oh god.
There was also used condoms found.
So there was a sexual element.
Yes, so they think so. It was almost like he had just had a go at everything. One of the pathologists had mentioned that she had never seen that number of stab wounds on somebody, and just the ferocity with which they'd obviously been given suggested she believed that this could only have been given by someone who is mentally deranged.
Yeah,
like, it is pure sadistic killing. There is no it's not a crime of passion, it's not a revenge killing, it's just mutilating that body in any way that he can think of, in quite a childish, like, oh well, just stabbing it up, like
not seeing them as human. And it's completely mental health.
There's no art to it, there's no finesse to stabbing someone 500 times.
No.
That's just like mashing your peas, like, when you're done. it's not great. The second body was also found. Marcus Lamont was found in his living room. Again, multiple stab wounds. Again, using his crutch to mutilate him with. He had cigarettes found in various orifices. And he had just, again, the childishness, the weird childish prank. He had his watch and keys had been thrown on the roof of his house. Almost as if, like...
But he was in the house.
Yeah, almost as if, like, Anderson had been like, oh, here's a little joke. I'll throw your keys on the roof. Like, when you know when someone throws your keys under your car so you can't get in. But then it just... Again, the logic doesn't add up. Like, he's not going to be that pissed off about his keys. I think he's more concerned about the stabbing.
Yeah, the guy with the knife.
Like that little...
I'm trying to get out the house.
The irritating prank is the least of his worries when he's trailing his intestines around the flat. So incredibly brutal.
Oh, it's terrifying what they must have gone through that. Oh, yeah. God.
So absolutely awful. Then shortly after, they found, sorry, the 2nd of September then, so this was then the Friday, so Monday to Friday, it took a few days for them to find the next few bodies.
Yeah.
So these two completely, like I say, mutilated, did all sorts of things to them, and it was almost like I say, he was just throwing anything at them, sort of playing with them, like toying with them. And then, like I said before, leading up to what I think were the real targets.
So this isn't even the real targets. Oh God.
Which, could you guess who they might be?
Women?
His granddad, I think, is the one. His granddad, who believed to be his father. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the third they found was his granddad's wife, Elsa. She was found again on the Friday, so like a week later. And it was only because the police had gone round to their house to ask questions about his general behaviour. So they knew they had Anderson in custody. They'd found these two mutilated bodies, and it took a week before they went to speak to his family.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what the process is, but I was thinking surely you'd have knocked on their door.
Well,
I mean,
he lived
with his dad. He had moved into that area to sort of stalk his granddad.
How old was he at this point? Only like 21, 22?
No, so born in 67, this was 80s. Yeah, so about, yeah, like 21, 22.
So it's not like he's like an old man who's kind of lived independently for a long time.
No.
Yeah, you'd think you'd be straight round.
Well, although it was his granddad, I suppose, but yeah, so they went round to try and speak to her, and they found her dead in the kitchen. Cause of death was head wounds, and with the murder weapon still protruding from her head as she had been.
Oh, the head as well. That's
an axe
not even
to the
easy.
Head.
An axe!
But no other obvious mutilation. So that suggests it was more he'd gone there to kill that person.
One strike,
he hadn't. He wasn't. It wasn't a product kill. He wasn't trying to enjoy her body afterwards. He'd gone because he wanted to kill her, basically.
Yeah, that was like, get rid.
Yeah. And then again, bizarre things found afterwards. It was like when he killed someone, as if it wasn't clear what his plan was. He'd ransacked rooms. His tie was found in the toilet.
What? Screw this formality!
Yeah, maybe he thought, I'll flush my clothes clean. And after the tie, realised it doesn't work.
This is not a formal occasion.
Yeah, casual wear only.
Good day.
No.
There's no sense to that, is there?
There is no sense.
No
to
sense.
It. He was just leaving all
I mean, that's
sorts
a manic
of...
episode or, you know, that schizophrenic
leaving a trail
episode.
Of bullshit behind him.
Yeah.
Like, you could just follow the wake of it. He was leaving, like, here's a watch, here's some keys, here's my tie, here's an axe handle.
Well,
like,
I assume there's no attempt to clean
yeah,
up.
No attempt to clean up, no attempt to cover his tracks. He was just blustering through wildly doing these things.
Good God.
And so, last of all, they found his grandfather, Stasis Petrov.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds.
Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Rob, who has out in his allotment, and he had been gagged and also beaten to death with a sledgehammer.
Oh, God.
So, again, his death is caused by head injuries. And annoyingly, Anderson had boasted previously to his arrest to people down the pub that he had looked inside his granddad's skull and saw that it was looked like baked beans. He was going around telling people that, and nobody... Like, again, if someone came up to you and said, oh, my granddad's brain looks like baked beans, I don't know that you would think, oh, I'd best ring the police. I think you think, this guy's crazy. Yes, this guy is crazy.
All right, draw it under the pint. Yeah. Just leave me alone, go away. Yeah, I would just be like, oh, that's crazy old McGee over there.
Yeah. I mean, there's absolutely no...
Rumbling to himself.
It wasn't a difficult case for the police once the bodies had been found, because there was such...
I mean, he's got a social life. He's always down that pub. Like...
Yeah, he's making the most of his free time.
Telling the tales of murder down there.
But yeah, there was a complete wealth of physical evidence. He's the only person that linked them. Like, there was no one else. The chase was non-existent. It was his name. It's like he just signed it. Me. But then... The interview process and the ultimate confession was drawn out. That's where the effort had gone, because he was such a knobhead to talk to. So he would.
He's done four murders. He's such a knobhead.
Because, like, you know, like, if you're telling off a child at school, like, if they've punched someone, like, I will be more angry if you try and pretend you didn't. Like, if you said to me, yeah, I punched him, I'd be like, okay, then, like, here's your punishment. Let's get on with our lives. If you're going to lie to me, I'm going to, like, keep going at you until you cry. Like,
yeah, it's so much more satisfying when someone's done a murder and they're like, I hold my hands up, you got me. I'll tell you everything. Yeah, because it's frustrating for everyone to not have the answer. Just like, come on, just admit.
Well, not even
that
we
caught you, just admit.
Not even that he was refusing to speak. He was more than willing to speak. He was just leading them a merry dance the whole time. So the first couple of days, he was obsessed with black magic. He would keep saying, the police would ask him a question and just say, well, you don't know fuck all about black magic. As if it has relevance. He had with him a deck of cards, and he would do sort of like tarot reading and say, oh, here's this card means that there's four bodies out there. And
he was loving it, because I bet the people in the pub are like, yeah, yeah, okay, mate. These guys have to listen to him.
Yeah,
he's getting his time to shine.
They would ask him questions and he would give a completely unrelated answer. Like, they would ask him about his relationship to a victim and he would say, like, oh, yeah, I'd love something to eat. Like, he was just not following. He barely lucid even. He claimed that the reason he'd done it was because his brother was shagging Margaret Thatcher. He claimed, then eventually he led on to the incest and said that it was revenge against his granddad. He said that his mother was also involved, that they'd done it together, that he'd killed two and his mum had killed two. And it just went on and on and on and ran in circles. He would just talk and monologue and pull cards and be absolutely ridiculous. Eventually, he talked about his insanity. And his words were, he said, it's a word for somebody like me is not too sure about oneself. And I know it's personality disorderment or summat. I've had it for a long time through my life, and I smile for no reason. I've had it whilst I've been in prison. With the supreme knowledge of Anthony Paul Anderson, the reason is telepathic. It whizzes through my head, through all the doubts, through all the bad things. I might have no memory, but it goes at the speed of light. And it is just...
It's nonsense, isn't it?
Absolutely ridiculous. I mean, the fact that not only did he say it and someone had to listen to it, that then...
Yeah. Someone had to go home at the end of the day.
Poor sod has made transcripts of all of that to the point of his dialect has been transcribed. I just think, oh my goodness, like it was not worth the breath it took to say.
No,
never mind the time it took to write it down. he claimed he also then went on a weird monologue about how he wanted to bring back hanging and that he'd committed these murders as a protest because what he'd done was so bad that people would demand he was hanged and therefore hanging would be brought back, and that was his whole aim.
Of course. I mean, get him in line. I don't know.
Like, there's being a martyr and there's being like... Yeah. Did you really need to shag him, though?
No. Yeah. Like,
if we're looking at... If you'd have asked the average man on the street, what would it take for you to want to have this murderer hanged?
It's commitment to a cause.
Yeah. Like, oh, God, I don't know if I'm... Like, yeah, commitment to a cause. I mean, how...
I'm just going to murder these four, two of my family, this two disabled people.
It's for the cause.
to get this point across.
He was a fan of Hitler. He was hailing Hitler left, right and centre during these interviews because he was a Catholic and so was Anderson. And together they were going to haunt the police officers. It was... I mean, I can't even... He said he was famous... because he'd been on a Concorde.
And he's obviously not. I can't even find him on the internet.
No. Like, I'm sorry, but Concorde's dead and so are you. Like, we have no clue. And then finally, on the 7th of September, so after a week of, full days of interviews as well, like just hours of babbling, he finally admitted that he'd killed them. He took the police to where he'd hidden the knives.
Oh, but they were like, thank God.
Yeah, and finally it was over. But then, even the court case, he still was just really just reveling in winding them up. Mm. When he was asked, as they do in court, they would read the charges and ask if he understands the charges. And he just replied, I might do.
Oh, that's so infuriating.
Or do I?
Maybe I do, maybe I don't.
Yes, we all die. But sort of really die?
Playing the pipes and wandering down the car.
Yeah. And as you can probably guess, he was found guilty. The good people in Sheffield were like, nope. You're done. For the charges of murder, he was sentenced to 3 terms of life imprisonment and to serve a minimum of 25 years. Pretty soon he was transferred to a mental institution. And he ain't never getting out of that.
Thank goodness. Is he still alive, do you know?
No idea.
Well, it's hard to find out, isn't it? Because
the book was written in the 90s. Don't question me.
I shouldn't have asked. I'm sorry. I regret it. I regret it now. My murderer this week is Graham Dwyer from Dublin. But I'm going to start with the victim.
I can't believe that there are any murders in Dublin. I've been 3 times. It's like my favourite place.
It's the happiest place in the world.
It is. Like, it's where nobody drunk cries in Dublin.
Yes.
You just drunk dance.
People dance dressed as leprechauns and have dance-offs.
Loads of dance-offs.
Loved it. So apparently people die in Dublin. So I'm going to start with Elaine O'Hara. And she was born in Dublin in 1976. She had a difficult time at school. She'd suffered from mental health issues during her teenage years.
Tell me about it.
As do we all. It continued into adulthood. She was diagnosed with depression and borderline personality disorder.
Yeah, do you know what that is? It's the bloody pill.
Why? Really?
Well, did you see, I think they've been doing research into a male contraceptive pill.
Yeah.
And they've stopped it because men were having side effects. But when they did the original trials for the female contraceptive pill, the side effects they encountered were way worse, particularly including depression. And yet they went ahead. Because no one gives a shit about women.
Get Sophie Hagen on the case.
No, just make men take the bloody pill.
Yeah, I'd be down for that. Although, would you trust him to take it? I think I'd be paranoid.
The same way as you can say,
I trust you to...
Yeah, I know, but as a woman, like, you know you've taken it. As...
Yeah, but it's that kind of logic that means that we're saying, like, oh, men, you don't have to be responsible. No!
I know,
yes,
but...
be responsible. I'm not going to de-skill you.
I don't know. I don't know if I trust them.
Okay, that's the second feminist rant in, like, two episodes.
So right, we can hashtag feminism next to our podcast, isn't it?
This podcast for men too.
Wider reach. So after losing her mother in 2005, so her mum died, she was quite close to her mum. She moved out of her family home into an apartment to a suburb of Dublin, and she began to train as a teacher. I mean, if you've got
depression, don't be a fucking teacher.
Don't do it. So in 2007.
2007? Oh, so this is recent.
Yeah, pretty recent. So 2007, she began using sex websites. I don't think she ever did become a teacher. There's no mention. I think she started training as a teacher and then was
one of those.
One of the 40% who drops out the first 2 years. She's in there. So she began using sex websites and she began messaging a man named Graham
Dwyer.
When
you say using sex websites, what do you mean? Just like watching porn or like...
No, she like signed up
for
some...
How do you use a website?
She signed up for some like deviant sex website, but like I think it wasn't like some really weird like terrible one. It was just one for people who want to like try new stuff type thing. So she started messaging Graham Dwyer, age 36. And they started using terms like master and slave.
Oh, okay.
So Graham was the master and Elaine was the slave. Cool. So she was kind of into this dynamic of like he was in charge. And he kind of enjoyed that as well. So he was using these websites on the side because he was married.
I love using a website.
Using.
It's a nice... So he's married, but yeah, he's looking for women to dump.
And he's not telling his wife. So his wife was an architect. He's an architect. His wife was an architect. And they have two children together. She was very hardworking. And she was... She kind of thought something was going on. She was suspicious. She thought he might be having an affair.
She'd spotted the dog collars.
Yeah. She was like, he keeps asking me to do weird stuff. To be fair, I don't think she ever knew anything about this sex stuff. Like, they had vanilla sex. They were just...
Right.
And he just didn't even bring it up with her. So she's like the mother, and he's like, that's part of my life, and now this is
right,
something else.
Right, definitely compartmentalising.
Yeah. So, in Dwyer and O'Hara's messages, they discussed rape fantasies and extreme bondage. Which I think I don't think it's completely abnormal. Like that's fairly normal.
Yeah, it's like I wouldn't even say is that that's not even like that.
It's a bit like
core, is it?
But like some like
everyone's
kind of aggressive sex, isn't it? Like
okay, so
this is a sex podcast.
Next time I see your fiance, I'll be like, oh, rape fantasy.
They'll run out the door. But it did sort of escalate when Dwyer said that he wanted O'Hara to help him find someone for him to cut.
Oh.
So he wanted some blood play in there as well.
Yeah, not so
tame.
So
he's taking it to the next level. So...
Calling it blood play makes it sound so harmless as well. No.
Yeah, that's horrible, horrible. I mean, some people are into it. If it's consensual, who are we to judge? But
no, I don't know. Is that too mean?
It's the thing that people do if they
okay
if they enjoy it. But I mean, she's quite a vulnerable person.
Yes,
he's very much the kind of aggressor, and he's saying, I think he was sort of phrasing it as like, I want to do this, and you need to help me, kind of like.
Right, he's not asking to cut her. He's just...
but he's saying help me to find someone to cut. So she's still depressed. They've been talking for quite a long time, meeting up occasionally, and she made a suicide attempt in 2012. She didn't tell him in beforehand. She told him afterwards, so she'd been, I think she went into hospital, she came out, and his response to finding out that she'd made a suicide attempt was that he was upset that she'd tried it without him being there.
Oh, shit.
So he wanted to be involved in the suicide. So I mean,
not a friend you need.
It's not supportive in the way that she needs. It's like, oh, I wanted to help. Oh, So she's in a bit of a rough patch. She's really struggling with this depression. And she began to ask Dwyer to make her pregnant. So she wants a baby then.
Of course. Yeah. Because that's not difficult.
Which is the solution. He agreed to it.
And what?
If, imagine this.
He could keep the placenta.
No. Worse. He said, I will give you a baby. I will have a child with you if you help me to kill a person. A life for a life.
Oh my God. And she, oh God, she's going to have said yes, isn't she? Because there's no story without it. But that's awful.
I mean, this guy's already a dad to two kids. I mean, obviously this is all on the internet now. They obviously know about this or can find out about this. But imagine, it's horrific. I don't think she did say yes. But that was just, I mean, this is all from the messages they got.
Oh, from their chat
for the communications.
Yeah.
Which might kind of tell you about who's telling this story later on, or the fact that no one's telling this story later on. So that's a hint of what's going to happen. But in these conversations, she's saying, I want a baby, and he's saying, I want to kill someone.
Right.
So completely different pages there. I want a lovely family. I want a murder.
Maybe together we can make it happen.
Tit for tat. So Dwyer wrote that he had, on the messages, that he had an uncontrollable desire to rape, stab and kill. So he said, these are the things that I want to do. So I was thinking about
New Year's resolution.
BTK is bind, torture, kill. So he would be RSK.
Yeah.
So rape, stab, kill. That's his kind of mantra. These are the things that I want in life. And he filmed sexual videos of himself stabbing O'Hara. Not to death, kind of...
Oh, so they actually did meet up and get involved
there. Yeah, they were having sex, as well as other women. So when they took his computer later on, they found all these videos of him sort of stabbing or kind of slashing women consensually. He'd found women that were
again,
up for this.
My first thought is, I want to see how hot he is, because I don't know... Because, like, how can you convince...
To be able to convince
multiple women. Although I guess maybe I'm just assuming that everyone's like me and wouldn't be into it. But
he's looking in the right places. He's using the internet to find like-minded
using
people.
Using it to his advantage.
Yeah. He looks like a normal office bloke. Like, he just looks like someone's husband who works in an office.
They're the stabbiest.
They're the stabbiest. So he said to O'Hara in text, if you ever want to die, promise me you'll let me do it.
Well, fair enough.
I mean, there's some morality
there's a little bit. Like, if you really want to kill someone, you're going to do someone that wants to be killed.
But okay. She's a vulnerable person, and she
probably doesn't want to die.
She probably would rather have some help and support. Rather, I mean, it's not the best kind of... If he's the only person she can talk to... She's not got a chance.
Please,
has she?
Kill yourself.
Yeah,
it's my birthday soon.
And he had affairs with other suicidal women as well. So he was seeking out.
He was trying to get someone to kill themselves.
He was seeking out women who wanted
that's
to die.
Really fucked up.
Which I guess he probably did. Like,
no,
we almost kind of went
sickest thing.
Isn't it horrible? But he kind of, I bet he justified that in his head.
Yeah, like I said, if I'm going to kill someone, it's going to be consensual, but that's not
fucking
real.
But he's basically finding the most vulnerable people in society and kind of preying on them, which is distressing.
He's found his market.
Yeah, he's found women who are up for anything because they're at that stage in their life where they don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
So on August the 22nd, 2012, O'Hara went missing.
No, she fucking didn't.
She's gone.
I think I know where she is.
She was last seen... Well, obviously she wasn't last seen by this person, but she was last seen publicly by a jogger in... I don't think...
It's always the joggers. Some of these joggers have got to be murderers, because most of the time when you find a body, it's a jogger. Dog walkers, again, they're my number two suspects.
So she was last seen in... This is an Irish name. Shanna Ganag.
She's found in Ireland. We know that for sure.
She's in a place called Shanagan. And her car was found, and she was possibly seen, but they couldn't say it was definitely her, crying by her mother's grave nearby, but that's not confirmed. So someone said, I saw someone crying, and it was where her mum was buried. So it's a possibility she went to visit her mum. But she was last seen there. And it wasn't till August 21st, 2013. So this is to one day before the whole year,
right,
that she's been gone missing, that Elaine's body was discovered by a dog walker.
Oh my god, told you the dog walkers! Yes!
On a Dublin mountain. So the dog discovered bones, and she thought they were animal bones, but then she saw clothing. So she contacted the landowner. He was Frank Doyle, who...
Lovely name.
If anyone is interested in watching like prison dramas, Frankie Doyle is a character of Wentworth. Wentworth is the one that I tried to get you to watch. If you like Orange is the New Black, it's an Australian prison drama called Wentworth. This is Frank Doyle. Is Frank Doyle also a person out of a...
The name sounds super familiar.
Like Father Ted or something.
Oh yeah, we're thinking Father Doyle.
Father Doyle. But he contacted the police.
Also Irish though.
Yeah, there we go. Doyle. On 10th of September, two fishermen then discovered handcuffs.
Oh, sure.
A ball gag, which is like one of those balls that you kind of put in your mouth, you can't take off. You think, yeah, sorry. Yeah, I know. yeah. Preaching this to the converted. Good God. I'm not going to look in your bedside table. Restraints. And they were all in the reservoir, which usually was flooded, but because it had been a heat wave, because it was the summer.
A heat wave in Ireland. Now, someone is lying. These fish... Right. If I'm a police detective, fisherman, where have you found these handcuffs? In this dry lake. Because of the heat wave? No. I'm taking you down.
You did it. So they found them in a shallow area that was usually covered over.
Not true.
And there was also a store loyalty card...
Oh, this is ridiculous. This is like people have planted these things.
But it had O'Hara's name on, so that's how they found that it was O'Hara that had gone.
I never buy the store loyalty cards. Not for this exact reason.
No, but if you get murdered, you want them to know that it's your body.
Hmm.
So it's lucky she had it. So then they launched a murder investigation. Because remember, this woman's been gone
before
for a year.
Before they just assumed missing.
Well, they didn't. It's just she was missing. They found a body, but it wasn't like... They didn't know whose body it was. It was just kind of... So this is how they linked it to her, and they knew that it was her body that they'd found. So they looked at her computer.
Mm-hmm.
She's been gone for a year. They've still got her computer. I'm assuming her apartment's just been empty. And they looked at the records, and that linked O'Hara to Dwyer. And then they found the sex videos and the text messages. So this is where all this evidence comes from. So obviously he went to trial. He was charged with murder. Family distraught, wife like devastated.
God,
wife and kids. So she's all over the papers. She's got to put up with all this stuff. And during the trial, the defense argued that evidence did not link Dwyer to O'Hara's death,
except for the fact they were saying, go on, let me kill you.
And they argued that was just pure fantasy. I mean, it would be a
possible,
it'd be a big coincidence though, wouldn't it? But then I mean, if she was...
But she had
she
tried
wanted
to
kill
herself,
herself
before. I think that's the problem, is that they probably thought she just managed to do it.
So the prosecution argued that Dwyer had taken advantage of O'Hara and manipulated her. Which...
Like, he still... I feel like even if they didn't convict him of murder, there still should be some punishment for what he's doing. Like, is that... Surely is that not... That's, that
yeah,
level,
seeking
of,
out
that
these
level
women.
Of coercion must be illegal.
Yeah. Trying to convince someone to... Vulnerable to commit suicide.
Yeah.
So there wasn't a murder weapon found ever. Based on the text messages, they convicted him of murder. He maintained he was innocent
the
entire time.
What did they say her cause of death was?
They didn't know. I mean, it was...
Oh, 'cause
they literally found, like,
so
bones
yeah.
and then, like, her card. So it was so long after. Obviously, it had been a year. They'd had sort of the summer period as well.
Yeah, all those dog walkers trampling around.
So he's been
the
on...
The kinky fisherman.
Yeah.
Tampling
he's been on suicide watch in prison.
Oh, right.
So, the irony. He doesn't see his wife and children anymore. So she's just like, goodbye, see you later.
You would be.
Move on. And it's been reported that he is now a model prisoner. So he is...
He'll be Mr. January next year.
Helping... Yeah.
Not the kind of model.
And he's convinced his sentence is going to be overturned. He has been accused of being quite flippant, and a lot of people do think that he is genuinely a psychopath in the way that he handled the trial.
Oh, so this is how it's left then, because there's reason. There probably is reasonable doubt there.
So it's not 100% that he did it. There's no obvious sort of evidence that totally links him to it. But there's just all these text messages and all this kind of linkage. And he joked during the trial, always like, oh, it's 50 Shades of Graham. Because obviously it was just after 50 Shades of Grey had come out. I mean, if someone...
He said that. That's not the Daily Mail headline.
He said it. If someone else had said it, it would have been clever. If he said it, it's just...
Creepy.
Very creepy.
That sounds like... It's probably screen name.
Yeah.
50shadesofgraham@gmail.com.
So, should we try emailing it? So, since Dwyer has been in prison, quite a few other cases of murder of a series of young women who were depressed... have been considered, and
his ladies. Do we know?
They think that it might have been him, but they haven't proven anything. But it's all conjecture. But there's a 17-year-old schoolgirl who disappeared, and Dwyer had mentioned in text to O'Hara, but there's no evidence that he directly messaged her. It's just that he mentioned her, and. But he's never admitted to killing anyone, basically.
So it seems that the only problem with doing a true crime podcast is that it definitely ends on a downer.
It's such a bummer at the end. Any happy tales to share?
Shall we just cuddle for a minute? So palate cleanser, Twitter.
We are Slaughter the Pod on Twitter, at Slaughter the Pod. We are obviously Slaughter on iTunes, so if you enjoyed the podcast, please do rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends about it, share the word. I know we've got lots of listeners in America.
Both of them sound great.
Yeah.
No, there's more.
Please tell your friends and keep listening.
Yeah,
have a lovely week.
But don't worry, because listening to Slaughter doesn't make you a psycho.
Killing people does.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.